Hey, got the morning show with Aaron, and welcome back, John.
Kira.
So we're going to look at some history now, 1924.
Yep, so a century ago. I like looking back a century ago. It seems sort of appropriate to look back 100 years rather than 98 years or 66 years or something.
Does 1924 seem that far, that long ago to you?
Well, my parents were, 9 years old then? Mm. So, yeah, I suppose I've got some connection with it in that way. But that shows how old my parents were and how old I am. So, yeah, probably most people have got great-grandparents who were alive in 1924.
Yeah. All right, what have we got? So from the Waikato Times, our first item on the list, it's about St. Peter's Church.
Yep. So the church was being built then, and it was about to be completed, so it was built of reinforced concrete, so that's what we see now. It's not traditional material for churches in this country. Most of them are built of wood, but this is reinforced concrete, which of course they had to earthquake strengthen recently.
So plans and specifications may be seen at the offices of the joint architects where tenders close. So you had to walk to the architect's office or
in Auckland.
Auckland. Wow. And people still did that. Like these days they'd email it. It's so different.
It does make a difference, I suppose. It makes trade rather easier when you don't have to go to the architect's office in Auckland to build a church in Raglan.
Well, I mean, I worked in an architect's office in the 90s and there was no internet then. There were cars, but we mailed out the stuff to the... I guess it's open tenders, though, if it's government. They used to have open tenders. Government work used to be open tenders, so maybe you just did have to go and find the drawings. Anyway, it's all email now. We won't worry about that. And they built the church, and we can see it there. And the latest update on the church is they're fundraising to put a
stained glass window
in it. So, yeah. So still pretty active, that building.
Another news item, a century ago, this is from 16th of August 1924, was the Raglan Horticultural Society.
Also still active.
And they were thinking about closing down the show for a year because they had an annual show, and that motion was defeated, but sometime later it succeeded because we no longer have an annual show. I'm not quite sure when it finished.
I love the wording of this, though. A motion brought forward to close down the show for a year was defeated, and a counter motion to make the coming show more successful than ever was carried unanimously.
Yeah, so who proposed it in the first place if they were going to put it off and still voted to?
I sense a split. I sense a split in the Horticultural Society in 1924.
But it still survived, so it's one of the longest existing groups in Raglan.
Yeah, yeah. It might be the oldest organisation.
Could be, I'm not sure.
Pākehā organisation.
Yes.
It's the whole Mariah situation. I love this one. The hockey tournament between Raglan, Orkety and Tīmata was won by Orkety.
Yeah, hockey was in the news quite regularly in those days, so it's obviously gone down in fashion.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, is there any hockey team in Raglan or anywhere?
There used to be a kids... Oh, there might be at the school. I know when my kids were primary school age, there was someone making a hockey team in Raglan, but it was because one parent really wanted to. And I think that parent might have been a former New Zealand hockey player, perhaps.
Okay. And
perhaps. I'm a little vague on that. Nobody
as well as hockey, the newspapers were always full of news of dances and euchre. I'm not even sure whether I'm pronouncing it properly. Euchre, euchre. Parties, card game, which was mentioned quite regularly, so people tended to get together for that. Maybe other games have succeeded euchre as a game that's played. I think it still is played occasionally, but I rarely hear about it. Dances are nowhere near as frequent as they used to be.
Oh, you're jumping around, John. You missed the bit about the school committee.
Well, the school committee was also in that August 1924 report.
A combined school committee meeting was held in the Memorial Hall in Tuku. That's they're very active school committees back then. They're having trouble getting people on the school committees in Raglan these days.
I suppose families were much bigger in those days because we did have natural growth in those days, so people had lots of children and the population increased that way.
There also was on Board of Trustees. Like the most active parents are probably going to be on the Board of Trustees.
Yep.
Maybe.
but there's still some familiar names in there, like Bates and Ritchie and...
Mason, is that familiar? Mason, familiar?
Yes, I suppose it's a fairly common name. So,
yeah.
Yes, and so the, also I suppose there's a change that we tend to use forenames as well as surnames these days, whereas in those days it was all much more formal, so they were all Mr. or Mrs. or whatever. So,
get a load of this sentence. A Euchre party was held in the Tomato Hall in aid of funds for the supper room, at which a presentation was made to Mr. Prosser from the... Oh, my. I've just had a pop-up come up on my screen. Go away.
From Tomato Football.
From the Tomato Football Club, of which he was captain. Miss Mintz was also given a presentation from the Tomato Hockey Club. How busy was it in Tomato in those days? They got a football club and a hockey club. We didn't even have, like, up until this... Was it in the very late 70s, the junior football club was... Maybe it was restarted. Anyway, the current one. And so there must have been no football club for a while, and yet there used to be a football club in Tomato.
Oh, they've still got a tennis club, haven't they? So
that's reviving, yeah. There's a few people out there trying to get some funding to rebuild the tennis court, and they want, and they know. I think some of the people out there must probably remember what a lively social sort of community it was back in the day, and I think that they want to have something to revive that.
Well, they had a few shops as well. So,
did they?
You know, and a post office, so. You know, all these things existed in the remote communities at one time because it was much harder to travel, and they were lucky if they had gravel roads. Some roads were still mud.
Yeah.
So, and lots of people still didn't have a car. So it was much more difficult to travel in those days. So people tended to stick in their local communities.
Yeah.
And they were probably rather larger as well because farms were smaller.
And more labour intensive. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's all sorts of reasons why the smaller communities have lost all those things in more recent years.
Yeah. That is a. Yeah, that's certainly a situation. Are we going to talk about the thrushes? There was a news item about thrushes, John.
I was interested in that because we didn't see them all that often now, but maybe it was newsworthy in those days because they didn't see them all that often.
Yeah, spring thrushes. Okay. What else have we got? The Waikato Independent. Is that a newspaper that used to exist?
Yeah, that was a Cambridge-based newspaper.
Oh, here we go. At the fortnightly meeting of Lodge Araha, brackets Odd Fellows. What's with the lodges, John? Can you explain that?
Well, we've still got the Freemasons Lodge on Wainui Road, where the grocers is, the small grocers there, and the tattoo artist. So.
What? There's a Freemasons in Raglan?
Yes, it was quite active at one time.
What, so. Now, still today?
No.
Oh.
This is the hall that they built, and I think it was probably in about, I'm not even dead sure, probably about 1970s when it faded out, and that hall has since been used by other shops and such like.
That's the one that the dairy's in?
Yes, yep.
Oh.
And before that, it was in the old stone jug, which was knocked down again in the 1970s. That was a limestone building that used to exist where the Lion Shop was on Wallace Street. So the Lion Shop's just closed and is moving up to the Raglan Club.
Yeah, it's going to be, I've seen where the work started, it's actually going to be in the car park around the corner. It'll be quite hard to find, but it will be there.
There was a suggestion several years ago that the line of shops was incomplete because the club was there, and there was a thought that maybe the line of shops should be continued in front of the club. So
there was a plan, and many years ago, in the where the I've been in the office of the club out the back there, and there was a we used to occasionally this radio station have a meeting there, and there was plans on the wall for a line of shops and a restaurant and all sorts of things. Which obviously never came to pass. But, yeah, it does break the line of the street somewhat.
Yeah. Anyway, back to a century ago.
Oh, yeah, so, sorry.
Yeah, the Odd Fellows were meeting. And they, if you look in the Raglan history books, there's a long list of the, I've forgotten what they called themselves now, the leading people in the Freemasons in Raglan. Each year they elected someone different.
They usually had pretty flowery titles.
I'm not really up in Freemasonry, but they're supposed to have odd handshakes and all sorts of things. So some people claim they were a secret society, and some people claim that they were doing all sorts of good work. So I'm not sure on that either. But Raglan Bowling Club still exists, so they were in the news in 1924. And they held their meeting in Mr. Bernard's rooms, who was the baker at that time, who ran the bakery where the George Pub is now, the George Pub Cafe, down on the corner of Bow Street, Wallace Street. And they'd been formed just a couple of years before. So I think the bowling club's one of the longer-lived organisations in Raglan as well, but obviously not as old as the Horticultural Society. The Raglan Dairy Company was around at that time, so there were regular reports about them. Another familiar name there, Mr. Peart, was re-elected as chairman. So the Peart's are still dairying out at Uchetti these days.
On the same farm. I assume it's the same farm. I'd be surprised if it wasn't.
Yep. I think they came about 1910 or so. I've forgotten the exact date. There was also the prospect of competition, because it mentions the new company's motor lorry leaves Karawa to collect the cream at that time. So was before the days of bulk milk tankers.
Can you remind people where Kauroa is? Because it's not really a place that we don't think of it as a place anymore. It's probably just a word on a map these days.
But it's basically the junction of the road to Tumata from the main road. So signposted for the falls.
Did there used to be buildings there?
Well, there is still a dairy, or the remains of a dairy on the corner there. It's now been hidden behind a big hedge, and
I was going to say,
can see it from the top of a double-decker bus, but you can't normally see it from the road.
Okay, all right. Okay.
It's one of the advantages of travelling on the double-decker.
You do get a good view, it's true.
The disadvantage is it's full of school kids. They're remarkably well-behaved compared with what I remember on my school bus.
Not because they've got devices to keep them soothed.
Keep popping backwards and forwards between a century ago and now. The Raglan Dairy Company was around. We didn't have the health service in those days. It's falling apart these days, but in those days what we had was the Raglan District Medical Association. So that was formed to try and make medical care more affordable for people, and they had annual subscriptions.
£155.
That was the total.
I was going to say, there'd be a lot for one person back then, 100 years ago.
They always had difficulty in getting and keeping doctors, because Raglan, of course, was much smaller in those days than it is now. And not everyone subscribed to the medical association. So.
And then what happened? Were they allowed to use the doctors when they got it, they needed one?
Well, my understanding is that they're then paid rather like being a private patient. You then had to go and pay the fee, which presumably was much higher than the free. If you were a member of the association. So I suppose these days it's equivalent of paying to be a member of St. John Ambulance and getting free ambulance transport, or paying for ambulance transport if you need it.
I didn't know that you could be a member. Because I've never needed an ambulance.
Maybe you need to do an interview with St. John. We used to do them regularly, but we haven't done for a while.
Well, they're on strike at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, maybe I'll have more time. Yeah, and Bush used to be a DJ here, so
that's a long time ago. And he is leaving town, so he's retiring from that role, picking it up somewhere else.
Maybe you need to interview him before he goes.
He might have gone already, John. Might be too. No, I saw his son outside yesterday, actually. We're back to 2024, but let's go back to 1924. So I've just learned that's how you did your health back in those days. But are we going to talk about, what's this, the Memorial Hall meeting? Is that the one in Te Uku? Yes, Te Uku.
Because Memorial Hall had been built after the First World War as a memorial. So back in 1924, it was still relatively new. They were still doing fundraising in those days. So they were looking at doing the lining of the hall. So, you know, it's got all that timber lining inside. So apparently that was done a century ago.
That's the Teuku Hall. That building looks newer. That looks more modern. It's got concrete blocks.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether it's been modernised.
I think that's a new building, newer. But I don't know. I'm just guessing. I should stop saying. I've got to stop saying things on the radio where I'm kind of guessing.
I'm not certain of that. I thought it was still the same building. I don't recall just the style, about it being rebuilt.
The style of it is not 1920s at all.
No, I need to look into that and check.
Yeah,
and maybe somebody listening knows the answer.
No, John, you're the one that's supposed to know the answers.
Yeah, well, this one I don't. So sorry about that.
Yeah, bad, John.
Let's go on and talk about the main road. So we've just been talking about having a corridor study, but in those days they actually got on with doing things. So the Hamilton Motorist Association, who had an engineer apparently, they're writing to the engineer of the Raglan County Council, stated that it would cost about £120 to widen three of the main bends on the Raglan Deviation Road, so that's the divvy, and that they were trying to get that done, and they offered £40 to the council as a contribution from the Hamilton Motorist Association, which later became the AA, or a part of the AA.
Was the Hamilton Motorist Association like the medical association, in the sense that people joined up and gave money, subscribed, because they wanted to see some action done, things happening?
Well, they mostly did signposting, but they also, from time to time, offered money to improve the roads, because the divvy is quite winding at the moment, but it used to be even more winding up until 1928, when they did do that widening that's being talked about here. So it took them 4 years to get round to doing it, and then it was still quite windy up until the 1970s, and again they straightened out several bends, and then around about 2000 they were talking about straightening it almost completely, and that scheme never went ahead.
But I'm kind of fascinated by these associations. Like, the government wasn't doing everything, or even the local government wasn't doing everything. It was people were banding together and forming organisations to solve problems. We're all a bit helpless now. We go, why won't the government do something?
Yeah, because of course it was only the richer people who owned motor cars in those days. It wasn't something that everyone had import.
That's true, but it wasn't just the richer people who needed doctors.
No. I don't know what the breakdown was of the subscription to a doctor's, whether it was rich and poor, or whether it tended to be more the rich who could afford subscriptions, and people had a much shorter life expectancy in those days, so maybe
It's a shorter average life expectancy, probably because there were lots of workplace accidents and people died in their 30s of things that now their life would be saved. But back then they probably couldn't even afford to go to the doctor. And I know, John, there's someone, you might even, if you can think of who I'm thinking of, there's someone in England who is a very long time ago Labour member of the Labour Party, who I saw a talk a few years ago talking about, because he could remember before a lot of the social services arrived, and he talked about as a kid remembering hearing the neighbours screaming in agony because they had cancer and they couldn't afford any treatment or any painkillers. So he could remember what it was like before the NHS, the National Health Service.
Well, in the UK that came in 1948.
Yeah, possibly a little later than here. But
I think it was about the same time here. But
was it? It's
sure
just that we had a Labour government in New Zealand in 1935, whereas the first Labour government in the UK was 1945. Anyway, I'm getting distracted, but I'm kind of fascinated by that. That's how they got a lot of stuff done. They just had to do something. All right, what else have we got from 1924, John?
And it always come from the papers past, so if anyone's interested in putting the search term Raglan into papers past, You come up with thousands of entries, which is where these come from.
Can I read this next paragraph? I want to read this. The township of Raglan appears to be in a somewhat martial condition. What with dissension among the members of the town board at loggerheads with the ratepayers, and the split in the dairy company. Possibly this has been brought about by their near approach of Mars. What the heck? Who's writing this? I've got a sense of humour.
I've forgotten what that was about.
It's just in the Waikato Times, 3rd September 1924, page 6, John.
I should have done more preparation for this. I can't remember what that was about. There still are quite a number of differences, and I suppose that was the situation in those days, because the dairy companies were looking at moving their production from Raglan, which is the old dairy that's still there on Wally Street, to Frankton.
Even in the 20s, they were thinking of moving it.
Well, they just improved the road, so it became feasible to run the truck to Hamilton. It still took a couple of hours or so, but it was much faster than it had been. And some farmers were thinking at that time that it would be worth changing. And they did, some of them changed that year. So 1924 was when some of the farmers started trucking their milk into Hamilton rather than processing it locally.
So that would have brought about the demise of the local dairy company?
Eventually it did, yeah, but it still hung on for another 15 years to 1939.
Oh, okay.
In fact, it did quite well for some of those years, and it was only later that they had problems.
That seems more like, that feels more like the time that those sort of, those tiny little dairy factories, because you drive around the New Zealand countryside, you see them everywhere, or in this case, in the middle of town, but yeah.
Yeah, no, almost every village had a dairy.
Yeah.
So even ones which are almost uninhabited these days, and they still had dairies which were mostly opened in the 1910s, 1920s.
Yeah. What'd they do before then?
Oh, that was when dairying really started to take off. There were a few which preceded that. So
it wasn't being sold. This stuff wasn't being sold overseas, though, was it?
Once we got refrigeration, which was in the 1880s, then ships were refrigerated, and they could, because even some sailing ships had refrigerators on them that were steam powered. So
did they in the 1880s?
Yeah. So that's when the early experiments with refrigeration took place, and I've forgotten exactly what date it was, but they did an experimental sailing to sell produce in the UK, and it succeeded. And after that, the freezing industry and dairying, selling butter and cheese took off, and that was when dairying increased a lot.
Wow.
So it had gradually been increasing from the 1880s up till the 1920s, and then after that it started to consolidate, and you got bigger and bigger dairy factories, which is what we've got now.
I don't understand how a steam engine could produce cooling, but
that's the same way that electricity produces cooling. So most refrigerators run off electricity, but some run off gas. It just needs an energy source, because you need a pump, and you pump something when it's compressed, release heat, and when it's expanded, it takes in heat. So it's like any heat pump that many people have got on their houses these days.
Right. Yeah. Now, this is more what I expect from you, John. You've switched over from the history to the technology, and you've got all the answers for me. It's perfect. So back to the Raglan Dairy Company, or we're going to move back on. We're moving on to the Horticultural Society. The annual meeting was held on August the 24th, 1924. So 3 days ago, 100 years and 3 days ago. And this is not big news, just a bunch of people have been elected to it, really. And
All these organisations had their annual meetings, as we still have. So,
yeah, it is the time of year for annual general meetings. Ours is next month.
Yeah, well, usually the end of the financial year is March, and by 6 months later you hope to have sorted out your accounts and have them ready to report to an annual meeting. So that's why we end up with lots of annual meetings about this time of year.
Oh, it's not just a winter thing, because there's not much else happening.
So I got a reminder about putting in the Whangaroa Environmental Defence report to the Charities Commission, which I thought I'd already put in, so I've asked them a question, but it is that time of year, yeah.
All right, let's give you this paragraph, the weather. The weather conditions all over this district are quite spring-like. The willows are out in leaf, plum trees in blossom, the grass is growing fast, cows are coming in, and every week sees the lorries with heavier loads of cream cans.
Yep, so weather reports were pretty frequent, and they were very often interesting, because most of the reports didn't tell you what was being grown locally. But the weather reports usually gave reports on how the Swedes were growing or something according to the weather. So it's a good way to find out that we didn't just have animal farming in those days, but we had lots of crops being grown as well.
So this is from 3rd of September 1924, so in a week's time. Okay, that feels about right, because we talk about global warming and climate change and things like that, but that actually feels like pretty much where we'll be in a week's time, with plum trees in blossom. I guess the willow trees, will they be in leaf? I've got no idea.
Yeah, I'm not sure when the willows come out.
Yeah, okay, we don't. That's something you don't know, John.
Yeah.
Is Tanya supposed to be coming in? Tanya, are you out there? No? All right.
Maybe her bus is late today. I haven't seen the bus go by.
That could be the case, but normally she'd get here by 9:30.
Yes.
I hope the bus is running. We had that nasty crash on the Southern Motorway last night. Did you see about that?
Yeah, well, that shouldn't affect the road between here and Hamilton.
No, maybe some buses got
It does show that crash barriers don't always work, because apparently the truck ran through the crash barrier.
Yeah, it's a truck, yeah.
Well, part of the problem is we've got too many trucks on the roads, because we deregulated transport and everyone moved from putting freight on the railway to put it on the roads.
Was it cheaper?
It was, because roads are subsidised. So we all pay taxes and rates to subsidise roads, but we don't pay those to subsidise the railways.
So what happens when you don't run your country properly? A government needs to take control of the country.
Which is why people get frustrated at getting behind trucks, and they are responsible for about 17% of the crashes, but only represent rather less than 10% of the traffic on the road. But
yeah. The Raglan County Council had its bi-monthly meeting on this is a news item from 11th of September. Held at Narawaia. So I didn't realise that all of the county council, you know, I knew it went up the coast, I didn't realise it included the river towns as well.
Well, the boundary was this side of the Waipa River. So the Waipa was the boundary, and one part of Narawaia was in Waikato District, and the other, Waikato County rather, and the other part was in Raglan County.
But they had their own borough council, didn't they?
Yeah, so the headquarters of Raglan County Council was just next to that bridge.
So it wasn't here, the headquarters weren't here?
Well, they were in this building originally, but then I've forgotten exactly when they moved it to Narawaia.
Okay, well, because getting it out of Raglan was difficult. So it was in the building, the town hall?
It would have been the previous building, yeah.
Yeah, the wooden one that burned down. Yes, just about every wooden building burned down in Raglan at some point or other, it would seem. So, yeah, okay, well, what are we doing, John? Are we going to keep going? Is it time to wrap up?
Yep, I was expecting to finish at 10:02, but since Tanya's not around, we'll carry on reading through the list of old newspapers, because they have got interesting snippets in them. They were one of the things they were still doing, and I just mentioned the subsidies to roads. They got a subsidy, this is reported in the newspaper, on the 11th of September 1924. It says Oketti Road Loan, and six of the ratepayers concerned wrote to the council suggesting that the proposed loan to metal the Oketti Road was inopportune, with money dear and labour high.
Boy, that's like, have we always just always said that? Has that always been the case? Labour's too high, it's not enough money.
Yep. And the council was asked to postpone the loan to a more favourable opportunity. So this is, again, a loan which ratepayers are going to pay and subsidise the roads. And it's was maybe a reasonable way of doing it when you had horses on the roads because they didn't fill up with fuel. But now that we've got a rather simpler system of charging fuel tax, it seems to me that we're still back in the old days of ratepayers subsidising roads. And the government's now looking at some charging in terms of congestion charges, but that will be a form of discouraging people from using roads at peak times. But we're still going to be largely subsidised, or quite a significant subsidy from ratepayers.
Okay, so here's what you were talking about earlier, a split at Raglan where the county comes in, butter suppliers. There's been a dissolution in the ranks of the butter suppliers in the Raglan district of recent times. This could be inferred from remarks made at yesterday's meeting of the Raglan County Council, where it was shown that certain suppliers had transferred their support in another direction. The chief point of the matter, as far as the county is concerned, is that 20 miles of the county roads, it is stated, are now being utilised for cartage purposes. There you go. And it's someone's subsidising that.
And part of the problem was that the Raglan County Council decided that Raglan was a good place to raise money, so they charged high fees to transport the butter by ship, and they had a big charge for using the Raglan Wharf. So one of the issues was whether they should reduce that charge. But the use of the trucks largely came about because it was so expensive to use the ships because of that charge imposed by the county council.
Everybody's trying to make a buck.
Yeah.
This is interesting to read because, like, you know, right at the moment people are saying, oh, the economy's down and we can't afford stuff and we just can't, you know. And it's like, and the feeling is that it's getting worse and it's never going to get better. But here we are 100 years ago. People are saying exactly the same things.
Yeah, and instead we know about history, that you look back and you see that the things that you've got problems with now have always been problems, and that some solutions worked and some didn't.
Well, I mean, we know what happened with New Zealand in the last 100 years. Like, the growth in infrastructure was substantial. Do you think part of that was to do with getting a socialist government? I know that this is going to make some people scream, but getting a socialist government in Labour in 1935, and strong Labour governments every now and again after that, what it does with the economy when you do socialism is it gets the money into the common man's pocket, as they would have said back then, and that actually stimulates the economy very successfully.
Rather than trickle down.
Yeah, because it doesn't. It trickles up. Right? It trickles out of our pocket and becomes a torrent to the people at the top. That's the reality of that. And in fact, to give an example of this, when there was an economic crisis in the US around the time of just before Obama became president, the US government actually put like $10,000 in the bank account of everyone so they would spend the money and stimulate the economy. So it is known that if you give the people at the bottom of the heap money, they'll spend it and the economy will flourish. And I don't know, I'm just wondering if that 100 years ago was a time like now where there is money being sucked out of the common people, but there was a period through the 40s, 50s, 60s where that wasn't happening, and 70s. What actually stimulated the real growth in this country.
Yeah, because there's something called the Gini coefficient, and they've been measuring that over time as a way of seeing how equal or unequal a country is, and the Gini coefficient's been showing a widening of the gap for, well, ever since neoliberalism came in.
Well, doing what it was supposed to do, yeah.
And that's been happening, and it's quite hard to associate. That's why economists keep on arguing over these things, to actually associate one form of government with growth or a different form of government with growth. So,
well, no system is perfect, and I think so. Everyone can pick holes in it, but also the biggest problem is that the politics gets in the way.
And, of course, there's a debate over whether we want growth in a finite world anyway.
Yeah.
So how much can you keep growing before the world collapses?
Well, that's right. You've got to choose your frame of reference, don't you? Like, at the moment we're getting sort of growth and a widening of the gap, which is like very much what nobody wants except the people at the top. And by the people at the top, I'm talking about the top 1%. No one else is really doing that well.
Yeah, probably even a fraction of 1%. But,
yeah.
But anyway, back to 1924, which is what we were talking about, and we've got another 2 minutes to talk about it.
What do you got, John?
Back to the Raglan Road, the Raglan Road allocation of maintenance review, which is a story from the 11th of September 1924. At yesterday's Raglan Kent Council, Councillor Swan, another familiar name, gave notice of motion to rescind the present allocation of maintenance to the main road for the from the Fotafota Bridge to Raglan, and for a fresh tally of traffic to be taken. So each county council had a section of road that it was responsible for on the main road. So it was divided between Raglan County Council and Waipar and Waikato councils, so three councils, and Hamilton. So four councils, rather like the bus service, had an interest in it. And they could never agree on how much each of them was supposed to pay towards it. So they, at that time, they kept doing counts of traffic to see which county was had the most cars travelling over it.
And then bickering over who pays.
It was about that time that the road funding became more of a national thing for the main roads.
The government must have been we're sick of you guys bickering over it. We're just going to fund it ourselves and so take it off you.
They set up the Main Highways Board, which then allocated money to the councils. And from about 1924 onwards, these disputes between county councils became less common. So there was more funding from government, paid for by usually more by a tyre tax in those days rather than the petrol tax. So it's another way that government could raise funds, because the more you drive, the more you wear your tyres, the
I've
more
got to
tax you'll be paying on.
Councils are cooperating better these days, but this Three Waters situation is probably going to test a few relationships, because the little council, the big councils are going to not want to team up with the little councils.
Yep. Of course, also, in 1924, you provided your own water, so there was no water supply up until 1964.
There was no Three Waters.
Yes.
Oh, happy days.
It was even later for sewage. So that was 1973, I think.
Here in Raglan?
Yes.
I thought it was 78.
I think it was probably finished in 78, but it started in, I think it was 73 when it started.
Yeah.
I could be wrong as well.
If you want to see, if you come to the town hall, you're facing the town hall, walk around the left-hand side to the side of where the radio station is, you can see two little square kind of indents in the wall, and that was where the toilets were, and that's where the night cart man used to come and get the bucket.
Yep, we're sat in the toilets at the moment.
Well, technically not quite. You can see, if you look at the roof, you can see where the wall of the toilet was. That hole was used to break into the radio station and steal something in the early 2000s, John. You might remember.
Yes.
Now it's been plastered up, so you can't just put your kid through and come
that's
in and rob
bit
the radio
of history.
Station.
We lost quite a lot of CDs.
Yeah, well, that's no loss now, is it?
And CDs are again going into history. It shows how quickly things can come and go sometimes.
These days, yes. All right, John, that's us. Time's up for the morning show and for this review. You're going to be on the air again tonight playing interviews that I've done.
Yes, well done.
But I haven't.
You've
haven't
done lots of interesting ones this week.
Have I? Or last week?
Yes, last week.
Yeah, I haven't done a lot of political interviews. It just, as we were saying before we went on the air, there's not much happening at the moment, it would seem. But I will be, I'm going to interview Lisa Thompson this Friday. And with the community board meeting coming up soon, I'll get Dennis Amor in again as well.
Even the community board's Facebook page seems to have been silent for the last few months, so I don't know what's happening there.
Yeah, there is a vibe around everywhere. It's cold and wintry, and a lot of people are sick for quite long periods at the moment, so everything's gone quiet everywhere.
And there's a theory that we've got Operation Or with the government, so rather like the invasion of Iraq by the United States when that they talked about overawing the Iraqis.
Shock
and awe, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, it is. Yeah, I mean, they had political shock and awe. Yeah, that's true, actually. Anyway, time to go. Thanks for coming in, John.